What up, what up? This is your man Octavius Williams coming to you live from Cypher Avenue Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. Doing something a little bit different. That's years ago now. My co-founder, business partner, Nick Del Macy, did a solo podcast called In the Mind of Nick Del Macy. It was pretty cool, man. You know, I forgot the subject matter. It's been years ago, but I just recall it being a really fun, dope podcast, you know. I personally had thought about doing something like that, you know, over the years, but never got around to it because kind of never felt the need to do something of that magnitude. So, you know, it was like whatever. But something happened a couple weeks ago, and you know, and just putting it out there, this is like the third time I'm actually attempting to record this podcast. Other two times was kind of just weird to me and kind of all over the place, and I don't know, this just wasn't up to my personal standards, I guess, trying to explain something like this. It was kind of sad and all this other weak ass bullshit. I'm like, yo, my God, who the fuck wants to listen to this weak, damn sad Cry Me a River victim bullshit? So scratch those, you know. So I'm starting over again. Hopefully this would be the third time's a charm. For, you know, kind of talking about the subject, you know, and let me just tell you how I got here. A couple weeks ago, went to a house party. I need to, I guess, as I'm doing this, make up some names to help move the story along, so to speak. I guess it was a house party or housewarming or whatever you want to call it, and ran into a ex-friend, and me being around him brought back a lot of memory, so to speak, that's dealing with the focus of this particular podcast, In the Mind of Octavius Williams, which, you know, kind of deals with male intimacy, male bonding, friendships, and all that good stuff. So after that little get together, I hollered at my boy Nick Del Macy and was like, yo, I just kind of want to vent. I don't really want to have a conversation because it's nothing you can really say or do to help this situation, so to speak. It's just me just venting. And as I began to, you know, talk about it and get my rant on, he was like, yo, maybe this will be a good idea for you to do In the Mind of Octavius Williams type thing, because, you know, what you're saying is cool, but since this is not a full-fledged conversation, yo, why not just make this into a podcast, like a solo podcast? I was like, you know what? Cool. I'll do that. So it took me a while to get around to doing it because I still feels kind of weird and awkward. Because I'm, you know, revealing a lot of personal information. It's like, what the fuck kind of shit? But, you know, in my true spirit of you know, being a voice for the marginalized, and I kind of go with that role of, if I'm going through it, other folks are going through it. If I'm bringing it up and other people are not bringing it up, but other people may be going through it, so why not bring it up to start the discussion and all that stuff, so to speak. So this is kind of me getting off my chest to, and hope, being hopeful that it sparks conversation, sparks thought, and maybe opens the door for others to do self-reflection and self-examination like I have done and like I'm still doing. So that's, you know, it's kind of me, you know, getting something off my chest, but also, you know, I do have a goal. I do have an agenda, but it's a good agenda. It's to, you know, help people. It's to talk. And a lot of times when I have these situations, there isn't a me providing solutions or resolutions. It's more me speaking with question marks, because no one knows everything, you know. I think that's kind of what life is about. You just exploring and learning as you go and gaining knowledge and experience, but, you know, continuously wanting to learn and ask questions and grow. I think that's how you actually grow. So a lot of this at the end of the day is still just me asking question marks. saying, well, what do you think? Is this the way it should be? Is something wrong with me? Should it be this way? Am I the one that's thinking about this incorrectly type of thing? So I just go ahead and dive into it. And like I said, it has to do with, oh, wow, my own personal experiences dealing with male intimacy and brotherhood and friendships and bonding and all that theatrical stuff that's out there when you think of men and being comrades and being a part of a tribe type stuff. And how I feel like I ain't got none of that shit. You know? So I thought about, and hell, I'm almost 40 years old, and in my years of solitude and reflecting and self-growth and self-analyzation, I became pretty good at doing the self-reflection and examination process, figuring out the root causes of my issues. And I think I kind of got this one down. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just somewhat in the mid stages of trying to understand anything. And I said, let me go back to the beginning. Let me go back and blow the dust off the record. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm going to try to do. So, you know, I know my shit is not going to be as entertaining as Nick Dale Macy's was, because, you know, he that's the architect right there. You know, he got editing skills and can throw shit in there and got clips and all that other types of shit. You know, I'm like, whatever, you motherfucker, I'm just gonna do my thing, you know. So I apologize if this shit is not as entertaining as this Nick Dale Macy's solo podcast he did a couple years ago. But hey, this is Octavius Williams time, so I'm gonna do my thing, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, again, you know, I think I'm pretty good at getting to the root causes of issues. And this is, I'm about to put some shit out there that, oh, man, once I put it out there, I'm not going to be able to get this shit back. And this is some real private, secretive, never tell a soul type shit. So I'm going to tell y'all motherfuckers. But when I tell y'all, y'all can't tell nobody. Y'all have to promise me you're not going to tell nobody this secretive shit I'm about to tell y'all that only less than 3 motherfuckers know ever in the history of mankind. So y'all need to keep this shit under wraps and keep this secret, goddammit. So I'm about to let you know how I began my process of self-examination and looking at this particular topic. Again, you know, male intimacy and how we interact with other men and friendships and all this other shit, right? So let me go and get to it, right? So here's the thing. Me and my brother, I have an older brother, we're not close at all, right? Me and this cat are not close. But we are, I think we're 4.5 or 5 years apart. Let's just, for the sake of conversation, we're 5 years apart, but I think it's less than that. But, you know, again, we're 5 years apart, right? So, I'm about to put this out there, right? Okay. He was actually the first male I had any type of sexual interactions with. So when I was around 4-5 years of age, maybe 6, but you know, in that range, me and my brother had sexual interactions. And this was not like an ongoing thing. This wasn't like a sexual relationship, and I know people like cringing when they hear me talk about it, but I'm just being open and honest. But we like, you know, humped on each other like two little rabbits, you know what I mean? And we only did it, I think we did it twice, maybe 2 or 3 times, and it was kind of days, weeks, months apart. It wasn't like a, like I said, an ongoing type relationship, so to speak. But it was just weird. And The narrative, the reason I'm somewhat, even though I don't mind putting it out there, there's reluctancy because of the religious mainstream narrative when it comes to homosexuality and men. You know, a lot of times the heterosexual narrative is, or thought process is, you're gay because you were molested. You know, that's the go-to thought for them, you know, what the fuck ever, you know. And I'm going to say, we're both kids. I can't look at him molesting me and we're both children. That doesn't compute for me. I think sexuality is natural in humans, regardless of the age. Even though at the time, looking back on it, it was kind of weird and gross to me, I still knew I had feelings before any of this happened. I still knew the feelings and view towards other males in my peer group was different towards the view I had of girls in my peer group. I think I was too young to even know or understand sexuality. However, I did know something was different in how I viewed males and females, or boys and girls, when I was a boy. You feel me? And even though my brother and I, you know, humped on each other or whatever, it was still weird. It's like, you know, yuck, whatever, leave me alone type of thing. Even though I participated in it, it wasn't something like, oh, I'm gonna go tell my mom, I'm gonna tell my daddy type of thing. No, it was like, okay, we're doing this and I'm enjoying doing it with you because we're bonding. It wasn't anything sexual in my young mind. I don't know what was in his young but older mind, but in my mind, it was nothing sexual. It was us bonding and being intimate. And during those 2-3 experiences, I enjoyed that. You know, I had a special bond with my brother that I had with no one else on the face of the planet. And I enjoyed that. And that was the only bond that we had. Me and my brother hated each other. You know, outside of that, I fucking hated him. He fucking hated me. He was a bully. He beat me up and all the other shit that sometimes older brothers do to younger brothers. But outside of that, that was the only loving, bonding type thing we had. Now, I know people may cringe when they hear this, but again, I'm just being honest. You know, I'm just putting it out there. I don't look at it as I was molested, that's why I was gay. Absolutely not. When I thought it was, you know, kind of gross that we were doing that, I still know I wanted to do something or had a view of other boys my age before and after me and my brother did whatever the fuck it is we did. You know what I mean? And to put it in more context, this is what, whether we want to admit to it or not, this is what kids do. Kids play doctor. Kids play house. The first vagina I saw, I was around 7 or 8 years old, and this girl named Venus White, I remember clear as day. Little white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, was just happy to show me her pussy, you know, in school, under the table, doing, you know, finger painting time, or when we was fucking out in the playground, she would just love to take her pants off and show me her vagina. That's the first vagina I saw. And I remember the other guy, I don't remember his last name, but his name was Dominique, a little boy. He used to always shake his dingling at me, and I would shake mine back at him. I remember we hunched on each other in, like, the coat closet or mud closet, whatever you want to call it. You know, when you coming in, you take your boots off and your jacket off, and you put it in the closet so you won't track the mud and dirt throughout the class. We had one of those. I remember one day, both of us in there, we kind of humped on each other. Kids do stuff like that. I don't think that's abnormal. I actually think that's normal. That's a part of normal human sexuality. I don't see anything wrong with that. But of course, you know, that's not necessarily the dominant society's way of thinking. But that was kind of my introduction to male intimacy and male bonding and friendship in a way. Even though, like I said, me and my brother hated each other and he was a bully, that was something intimate that we shared. And I, obviously, as 40 years old, I never forgot that, you know. And it's kind of weird, but I feel like I've been searching for something like that ever since. And again, I was a kid. To me, it wasn't sexual at all. That was not in my mind. I didn't know what the fuck it was. I just know what I felt. So when I said I've been searching for something like that since, I'm not saying I've been searching for some type of sexual gratification, because that's not where my head is at, and that wasn't where my head is at. But I just remember, it's like, okay, him being an asshole and him being a bully and him beating me up all the time, whatever, and I'm thinking like, okay, all boys are not like this, because I had a lot of, you know, male boyfriends in school. Not boyfriends in that nature, but, you know, I was a boy, so I had a lot of male friends. We got along, had great times, had fun. But it's you're in fucking school. You're not... Are you really, really friends? This is not no fucking Stand By Me, Stranger Things type real life that I was living. This was no, you go to school, you know, you hang out, you laugh, you do your work, you play on a playground, then you go home and maybe play with some kids in the neighborhood, you know, if other things aren't going on. I mean, it's just weird. You know, I can't look at elementary school and say, hey, I had a best friend in elementary school. It just didn't exist for me that way. So, and it was kind of because I didn't have a father, you know, single mother, but, you know, I still had my grandfather, my uncle, and extended family. There still was never a, I want to say, dominant household male figure, because all the male figures pretty much work anywhere between 8 to 12 hours a day. So the only interaction I kind of had with adults was my grandmother, and sometimes my uncle. But, you know, he worked like a fucking, you know, slave. So, and of course, my granddaddy worked, you know, hard also. And my mother was at work. So I was just pretty much around my grandmother all the time. And she looked after both her and my brother. So between her, my brother beating my ass, and being out, he was older playing with his friends, I never had any real male intimacy or male bonding. And I felt like I was missing out on something when I saw other boys with their brothers having a good time, or other male children with their fathers or father figure having a good time, and I had none of that. So I always felt like I was deficient or missing something. Did I use that fucking word right? I hope I did. I don't know. But I think you guys know what I'm saying. You know, whatever. So that was my first interaction. That sounds so fucking gross. Oh God, with my damn older brother. Yuck. You know, but going into adolescence, and once I knew what homosexuality was, it was like, okay, is that what I am? I got it, I guess. But I knew what homosexuality was, but I also knew how negative it was. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in a fucking church. So, hello, I'm an abomination. I'm the devil. I'm a demon. I'm evil. I'm going to hell. You know, I'm unnatural. I'm all these things simply because I have certain feelings I've always had as a child towards males than females. So, my view of homosexuality, like a lot of people, a lot of people throughout the world, I was about to say America, but fuck it, throughout the world, is skewed. You know, you grew up with a negative self-image of yourself because you're taught a part of what you are is evil, an abomination, unnatural, demonic, whatever. So my views about homosexuality were shaped by the church and by my community who shared the views of the church. And to couple that, like I said, you know, I'm about 40 years old, so I kind of grew up around the era of AIDS and HIV, when AIDS and HIV was a gay epidemic that was sweeping the nation, that, you know, people were saying was the gay plague, and they were infected because God was punishing them. That's another thing. So that those things are what was shaping my images and my outlooks about homosexuality. Some fucked up shit, right? You know. So, and I knew at a young age, even though I knew I was different, I still knew at a young age I did not want to be that. I didn't want to be an abomination. I didn't want to go to hell. You know, I didn't want AIDS at fucking, you know, 10 years old. That's some horrible shit, right, for a kid to be thinking, hey, I know I'm different. I think I may be homosexual. Oh my God, I'm homosexual. I'm going to get the AIDS. I didn't fucking want AIDS at 10 years old, you know. But that's the shit that, you know, gay kids or non-heterosexual kids gotta deal with. And that's something that I dealt with. I didn't want the fucking AIDS, you know. So, of course, this shaped my view about homosexuality. And going into high school, you know, I kind of still, I still had those views about homosexuality, but they were slightly beginning to change. But it's hard to somewhat change your ideals about sexuality when they've been somewhat cemented in your bedrock and your foundation in a way. They've been implanted on you at an early age that you're taught what's right and what's wrong. And if you're taught something is wrong and that something happens to be a part of you, you begin to look at yourself as being partly wrong. Something about you is defective. You know what I mean? So I kind of went into high school with that same attitude. Even though I became old enough to somewhat rebel against religion, growing up in the church and you seeing, God, this is going to sound horrible, but you seeing the gay, when you see gay people, you see a certain type of person. I mean, come on, let's put this out there. I mean, let's be real about this. It's just you and me talking, right? No one else is around. It's me and you, right? So you see a certain type of gay person. If it's a woman, what's recognizable as a gay woman? A butch lesbian, you know? As my community used to call it back in the day, dykes or bull daggers. How awful is that? What the fuck is a bull dagger? Really? Wow. So they call them dykes or bull daggers, right? Because that is what you recognize, a very masculine, tomboyish type woman, type female. But when it comes to a male, what was easily recognizable? Flamboyant, highly effeminate, flaming gay men. They were the ones who were readily or easily identifiable. And they were the ones that you saw on TV, you know, screaming about gay rights and having AIDS. And likewise, those were the ones that I saw in my community in church, which was, you know, the place that taught me homosexuality was evil, was the same place that was full of homosexuals. You had all these flamboyant, effeminate men doing something in the church. And it's like, oh my, it was like, yo, wait a minute. We're being taught and we're being preached to that something is wrong. And that something is everywhere in the fucking church doing something for the church and for the fucking community. And the community has these men in the church and are congratulating them, but are accepting of their talents, but rejecting of their totality of who they are as a person. You know, he so can't sing, but you know he got that gay demon spirit. that's the type of shit I'm fucking hearing. And there's a rejection against that. There's a backlash against the femininity and the sassiness of these gay men. So those are what ideals and those images of what I thought homosexuality was. Period. I didn't know about fucking lipstick lesbians and masculine gay men. No, that was not that this didn't exist in my mind back then. Of based on what I was exposed to, right? So when I got into high school, those were still my ideals of what homosexuality was. But, you know, by this time, I'm actually old enough to say, hey, no, I'm not cool with religion. I got questions. I've been kicked out of Sunday school because I've challenged the teachers and the preachers and deacons or whatever about the views about about religion. I'm not cool with this. And I'm not on board with religion. So I started to rebel against the church and religion. And to the point where my mom was like, look, fuck it. You ain't got to go no more. I'm going to pray for you and hope you get right with the Lord on your own time. But I got to go here and keep getting saved and getting prayed up. I'm like, good. I ain't got to deal with this bullshit no more. Fuck this motherfucking church and Christianity. But the negative shit that you know, I grew up with, that has been instilled in me, is still there. So I can rebel all I want to. I can't just change my foundation about me being evil and being an abomination and all this other shit. You know what I mean? So that's still there, and it's come somewhat to follow me to high school, even though in high school I knew I absolutely, you know what? As I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know what? In middle school, I kind of knew also. In middle school, I knew I was a homosexual. I absolutely knew. When I came across pornographic material and saw men and women, my eyes and my thoughts and my fantasies automatically gravitated towards the men. You know, I was fascinated with the male body. You know, so I knew even in middle school, I knew something was different. Maybe not, I was not admitting to myself of what I was, but I knew something was different. And I definitely knew in high school, even though I was still in denial, or to use a popular term that term wasn't used then. But even though I was quote unquote DL, because I still had girlfriends and, you know, I lost my virginity with a chick when I was 15 years old and whatever. That term DL hadn't came out yet, but to use the term to talk about the issue, I was considered DL, you know. But even though I knew that's not what I wanted or not what I wanted to do, of course it's different now. There's no way I could have had a fucking boyfriend in high school. There's no way I could have. Well, that's not true. There's no way I could have. However, there were people who did it secretly. You know, now that I'm an old man, so to speak, I'm 40 years old. You know, speaking to other 40-year-olds, late 30-year-olds, and 50-year-olds, homosexuality, regardless of the age, has always existed. And what's weird is that, you know, there were people in my hometown in different high schools in my area that I know now but didn't know back then, who were fucking having orgies and shit. I mean, yeah, like seriously. But, you know, that was unheard of for me. That was, what? But it happened, you know. But for a lot of people like me, even for those guys, you couldn't have a relationship with a dude. That shit, man, get out of here. You ain't no way in the hell that shit could happen. You know what I'm saying? So in a way, the heterosexual kids, or I don't want to say the heterosexual kids, you could have a girlfriend, you know, but hell, that's not what I wanted. And when I'm thinking about it, there could have been other homosexual dudes who were also playing the role just like I was playing, but on the outside looking in, you think you're the only one. You know, everyone else got girlfriends and doing all this, exploring all this their sexualities, but you can't do that because what you want to explore, you can't really explore it, so to speak. I was terrified. Like I said, my mom was thinking, you know, to be a homosexual man was to be flamboyant and have AIDS. That's what I fucking thought. That's all I know. That's all I knew, excuse me. So it was what I was. I can recall, maybe it was in the 10th grade. That's when I began to drink. I started drinking when I was around 15 years old. And it was a way for me to fit in. I became more of a delinquent. It was a way for me to fit in with the cooler other delinquent kids. I was always a kind of a sarcastic, jokey asshole with a dark sense of humor. So, you know, my humor was another way I was able to fit in and divert negativity, so to speak. And I can remember, speaking back to pornography, you know, by high school, you know, everyone was, this was back in the day with VHS, you know, and I want to say AOL still hadn't came out yet. This was still fucking broadband. It was on no ethernets and all this new technology that we have today. This was right on the cusp of the internet. And back then, people were trading pornography on VHS videotapes. And it was like nothing to somewhat trade flicks. And there was like a thing in high school. And I can remember looking at porn and just being gravitated to the male body. And it was like, yo, I need porn to see the dudes. Fuck the girls. I just want to see the fucking dudes. Again, solidifying how I knew I was homosexual. And God, my masturbation game was tight, dude. I was just like jack off everywhere in school, and fucking two and three times a day when I got home, at nighttime when I got up. It was like my testosterone and libido was just, I mean, hell, I'm a fucking teenage kid, you know, of course it was. But I remember it was like, okay, I need to fast forward and get to these particular images so I can, you know, masturbate to. And I remember thinking like, damn, I wonder, do the other dudes I'm trading these flicks with do the same thing? Because again, in your mind, you're thinking you're the only one and no one else is like you. You're isolated, you know, you're in this world by yourself and you got this secret to hide. And I just remember thinking that. And it was still the same feeling, like I'm not, even though I got friends, I don't have any real bonds like the cats on the basketball team or the cats on the football team. Even though I'm friends with both, I don't have the bonds that they have. Even though I'm cool with a lot of people and a lot of dudes, at the end of the day, I don't have any male intimacy. You know, no one to share secrets with necessarily, or no one to talk about certain private things with. Like, I'm hearing or I know all these other guys do that hang out on the weekends and spend all their time together, you know. And I'm like, damn, I want that. Yeah, I got friends. But do I got any close friends? You know, back then, understanding that these are just you go to school and you go home. These are fucking associates. These are not your fucking friends. But of course, as a kid, you don't know that. So I'm thinking like, yo, I knew even then, I still knew something was missing. I still knew there was a gap, and still feeling envious between when I saw these other guys together, or these other guys with their fathers, or these other male figures. I still felt like I was missing something that they had. They had something that I didn't have. They had mentors, father figures, and friends outside of fucking school. And all I had was the cats I went to school with and ate lunch with at school. And, you know, when I got off the bus, that was it. I went home by myself. You know what I mean? So I still knew that I was missing something. And it felt very, it was hollow, you know? I couldn't be my true homosexual self. I did have two very, very close friends when I was a junior and senior in high school, right? But I still couldn't be my true self with them out of fear of rejection. Like, yeah, keep in mind, this was back in 1993, you know? So it was like, I can't tell these dudes I'm gay. They're going to tell everybody, or I'm fearful they're going to tell everybody. And I'm going to be a fucking laughingstock at school because I'm the guy who, you know, told his friends were gay, and they was like, oh, you a faggot, and they go and tell everybody else. I didn't want to risk that. I was terrified to do it. I wasn't going to do that shit. So there was still a certain point of who I could be with my best friends, even in 11th and 12th grade when I was a junior and senior in high school. And, you know, that is one advantage that a lot, not all, and I still don't think it's the majority, but it is one advantage that I think a lot of kids have today or take for granted that they have today. I mean, you got fucking gay alliance clubs in fucking schools now. You know, you got kids that are able to be gay just simply through social media and the internet. That's something that we didn't have, or I didn't have back in the early 90s, that is somewhat prevalent and pervasive today, you know. But of course, after high school, well, not of course, but after high school, I went to college, lost contact with a lot of this was pre-Facebook and pre-social media, so I lost contact with a lot of cats that I was somewhat cool in high school with. Cats went to the military, went to other colleges, got scholarships for football, basketball, whatever, and this went all, you know, across the country or across the world or whatever. Still went to college with some cats from my fucking hometown, my fucking high school, and that's some shit. So still technically could not get away from the ghost of my hometown, so to speak, because I was still in college with cats, roommate with some cats from my fucking high school. But it wasn't like I could really, I'm just 18 years old. This is now 1995. Could I really still explore my sexuality then? In college, even if I wanted to, I couldn't do that. It was high. You know what? Being a freshman in high school was actually worse than being in. Being a freshman in college was actually worse than being in high school, because now you got that same male environment. You have those same male elements. Now they're there without adult supervision. So it was way, but college, my freshman year in college was way worse than high school. Living in the men's dorm, just testosterone, just sweating out the fucking walls. Dudes were out of control. And it's weird because, again, me being dumb and naive, thinking, oh, I'm going to go to college and I'm an adult and I'm going to evolve and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and blah, blah. Thinking this, you know, the world is going to be my limit, and got to fucking college. That shit was a fucking madhouse. And the dudes were out of fucking control. So my first semester in college, man, just completely threw me for a loop. I'm thinking I'm gonna make friends. You see all these fucking movies and shit and TV shows on fucking TV and shit. Motherfuckers going to college and they having great lives and experiences. You thinking you gonna have that same fucking college experience? Get the fuck out of here. Motherfuckers was crazy as fuck. Motherfuckers robbing and fucking selling dope and all types of hood ass nigga ass shit. I'm like, you fucking serious with this? Motherfuckers and gangs and shit fucking in college. That shit was fucking crazy as hell. Needless to say, my dumb ass got ran the fuck over my fucking freshman year, right? And I'm thinking, like, I was fucking naive. I was fucking living in the fucking delusional ass world. But my second semester of my freshman year, everything changed after Christmas break. Even though I had already built up some of a thicker skin dealing with dudes in high school, because I got bullied and all kinds of stupid shit that fucking kids go through, so I developed a thicker skin and became more of an asshole to match their bullying and assholeness, so to speak. So I already had some of those traits, but thought, hey, I'm going to college. There's no way this can happen ever, as adults don't deal with this stupid shit, So college just made me worse. I became one of the most aggressive, angry assholes imaginable, to the point where I had a reputation in college. Not saying I'm necessarily proud with that. Yes, it prevented people from fucking with me, so to speak. But I'm like, this is not what adults are supposed to be like, right? I didn't know, because in my dumb 18-year-old stupid ass, I didn't know, But I do like the fact that I did gain a lot of confidence. I'm not going to sit here and doubt that shit. I did gain a lot of confidence. But in the process of all this bullshit, still didn't have any type of a real male meaningful relationships. Didn't have, I made bond with some motherfuckers playing video games and smoking some blunts or something. But that's not real bonding. That's not friendship. That's niggas smoking weed, being high. That's not anything meaningful. That's not necessarily certain levels of intimacy. And, you don't even really know motherfuckers outside of, what's up, you know, where that weed at, son. You know what I mean? So I still didn't have any real friendships, in college. So, again, I feel void of what I'm noticing cats from certain areas around the country coming from, and they're bonding based on who's from Jersey, who's from upstate, who's from the tri-state, who's from the dirty south. I'm sitting here watching these cats bond this over stuff, and I'm still feeling even somewhat left out with the cats from my hometown, because I'm like, yo, I'm still not into just hood shit like that. I know that sounds weird, but it's just like, yo, first of all, I'm gay as a motherfucker. So I'm not about, even though I had a girlfriend, I wasn't a pussy hound. I went out trying to chase bitches, and I'm doing quotations here. So I don't have that in common with them. Even though we hanging out and we cool, there's still that gap. there's still a void because I still can't be my true self with these cats. You know what I'm saying? Even though we can hang out all day long or spend a weekend together, there's still a void because I can't be my true self around these dudes who I know are anti-gay. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, I just got a deal. And that was some hard shit. You know what I'm saying? Thinking back on it, I'm like, yo, I was alone a lot. I interact, but there was still an exterior shell and cover that couldn't be penetrated. You know? It was weird as fuck. But as the years went on, you know, cats drop out of school and leave and go to different school and transfer and all this other shit. So here I am. Wow. So here I am. I'm in college. As the semesters went on, I had a little bit of different levels of privacy. Could you start dealing with upperclassmen who may leave for periods of time or go home for whatever, or, you know, go get a hotel room with their girl or whatever, their boy or whatever, right? So I had some free time, and then, like, you know, not too far from campus was a pornography shop or, you know, an X-ray video store or whatever. And one of my lonely weekends by myself, I took a trip to the video store, and I remember I went in one of the booths to look at the, it's like, oh shit, they got gay pornography. It's like, oh shit. And it was like, I want to see that. And I went into the booth and I was completely blown away. There were two men having sex on film, and it was the most mesmerizing thing I had ever seen in my life. I was like, I can't believe this shit is happening, right? So in the mindset of me being just completely mesmerized, like, oh my god, dudes are actually having sexual intercourse, this shit is real, I look down at my feet and I see someone's passing a note up under the door of the video booth, and I open the note, says, can I suck your cock? I was terrified. I thought somebody from school had saw me. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So I was like, oh shit. I was completely terrified. You know, here I am, fucking 19, 20 years old, just still just completely fucking paranoid and out of my mind. So I waited a couple moments, opened the door, and hauled ass, right? But it wasn't, when on my way back to the dorm room, it wasn't just that these dudes were on video having sex. I'd never seen these type of men before. These men appeared masculine. I'd never, ever, ever seen that before, ever. And I was like, those type of homosexuals exist? Not everyone is that sassy, effeminate, church choir leading, piano playing, sassy, chasse drag queen? Seriously? I was blown away. And I hate, and those will sound stupid, but that shit gave me hope. I'm like, wait a minute, there are other cats out there who are not like that. Maybe that's just a fluke. You know, maybe that was just like a one-off. That can't be real. You know? So the very next night, I took my ass right back to the fucking video store. You know, went back in the booth and watched that video and another video in the process of jacking off and, you know, nutting on the floor at a nasty, sticky porno booth. But it was, I'm like, okay, there are multiple men who are masculine looking in appearance that are gay, homosexual. And I was completely blown away. And it made me feel like, well, wait a minute, there is possibly hope for me to come across guys like me, and I'm able to possibly be myself and actually form something meaningful on some level. And, you know, as a 19, 20-year-old, I'm thinking like, oh my God, the world's and the sky's the limit. I'm not alone. Yes, these are fantasies I'm seeing. Yes, these are for the masculine caricatures, you know, that I'm seeing on camera or on film, but they're not, they're here. They're not imaginations, and this is no longer me just wishing and hoping. And somewhere on planet Earth, these guys exist. And I was it was the greatest thing in the world for me at that particular time, right? So, you know, I think that very same semester, that very next semester was the last time I was in school. It shit got way too expensive. My mother couldn't afford it. She couldn't take out any more loans. I couldn't take out any more loans. It was like, this shit is like pushing fucking, you know, $25,000, $30,000. It was like, we just can't afford this. So it was like, well, I can try to go back later on, but let me at least take my ass back home and somewhat try to enter the workforce and gain some type of experiences or whatever. I don't know. You know, again, you know, you don't know. You're 18, 19, 20 years old. You don't know the fuck you're thinking. You still think you can do anything and you're invincible. But a funny thing happened before I left college. I had my first homosexual experience. And looking back on it, I didn't know at the time, but it set the stage for a lot of things that were to come. First, I was intoxicated. I'm not saying I was heavily intoxicated, but I was intoxicated. And I remember I was intoxicated off of ENJ. So I remember that. I remember the guy was, I guess you would consider him, again, by the standards of the terminology, he was DL. I can't remember. I know he had children. So maybe, let me take that back. I don't know if he was DL, but I do know he had children. But I don't know if he was in a relationship with a girl or not. I don't know. But I just know he had children, right? And I knew I didn't want to. God. I knew I didn't want to be with him. I knew it was just an experimentation type of thing. But I knew I didn't want to. Let me say it this way. He was available. He was a body that was available. And after I saw the men in that gay video, I knew I wanted to try to find something similar to the guys in the video and also to myself. You know? And even though this guy that I had this first experience with, it was still something off. Even back then, looking at it, you know, wherever it comes from, you still have your own intuitions, your own gut feelings or whatever. It was something to do then at that time. I knew I wasn't going to be there after that semester. The semester was almost over, and I knew I wasn't coming back. So I said, why not just take a chance, so to speak? And I knew that this was going to be extremely temporary. I think I fucked around with him twice. But I didn't enjoy it necessarily. But he was available and I wanted to try it. I wanted at least to take a step to try it. And I remember, again, this was pre-internet. I met him off a phone chat line. That's how we met, and he wasn't too far. I was driving by that time, and he wasn't too far from the campus, and that's how we end up hooking up or whatever. And I remember the dude, but he was available, and the reason I said set the stage for what was to come was because there is no way I could have seen myself being brave enough to sexually interact with him sober. You know, I needed some type of bravery to do something with him, because other than that, I would have never went through it. So I hyped myself up, you know, got some ENJ, hyped myself up, and just went for it. And it was like, this shit is whack, you know, but I wanted to do it because I needed to do it and I had to experience it. And I'm like, I have nothing left to lose. I'm, you know, 21 years old. I'm away from home. I can do this now. not saying I regretted it, but sometimes, you know, it was you sometimes you don't you know what you want, you don't know what you like, and you're still confused and you're still trying to figure things out. And that was one of those experiences. And it was hollow, you know, it was empty. It was no intimacy. It was no type of meeting of the minds. It was nothing. It was just there, you know. So I think I've talked enough for this first part. I didn't think it would go this long, but apparently I have. You can see I have a lot more to say, and I don't want to talk you to death just yet. But there's a lot more to come, a lot more to express how I feel and get to the actual situations, what started me to make the, initiated me to make the podcast in the first place. But I'm going to save all that for part two. So this is hopefully the beginning of something new for me, just to let you guys know. I did want to start vlogging. I am going to start vlogging. This is my introduction to vlogging. Unfortunately, I'm not able to do it live or to show my face. I just started a new career. If you are a follower of Octavius Williams and Cypher Avenue, you know I have some extremely controversial views, and those views would easily get me fired from my brand new job. So because I like money and because I got financial responsibilities, I don't want to take that chance just yet. Maybe in the future, no big deal, but as of right now, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, vlog, but, you know, I can't show my face right now. You know, I'm open for it. It's not a big deal to me. If I was an entrepreneur or financially independent, I would have no problem. But right now, unfortunately, I have to rely on somebody else to eat, and that somebody else is a corporate gig. And, hey, they real strict about their business, so I don't want to mess it up right now. Hey, it is what it is, right? But, again, like I said, hopefully this is the step in the right direction. Hopefully I could do this more and more and work all the kinks out as far as my own level of nervousness. But what I want you guys to do, I'm going to post this not only on Cypher Avenue, I'm also going to post this also on Octavius Williams on YouTube. I want you guys to like it. I want you guys to share it. I want you guys to give your feedback and your opinion so far, what you think, what I could do better. Whatever you want to say, I'm open to feedback. I'm open to criticism. You can't hurt my feelings. I don't mind trolls. I'm just happy you're paying me any some type of attention. So you don't bother me, right? But I'm going to be doing part two really soon. I may even record it tonight. Or just maybe digress and regress and digest what I've done so far with this. And then hit it up a couple days later, or just record the other part tomorrow. But you best believe part two is coming soon, because that part two brings me into, you know, my late 20s, early 30s, and up to the day, and also what's causing me to actually speak up and out about the issue of friendships, lack of friendships, lack of intimacy, and lack of true male bonding within gay culture and the gay community. So stay tuned for part two. It's going to drop really, really soon. I appreciate you guys. Peace.